I know Joe Petrilic is not here today, I don't believe, but I want to thank him for covering me when I was supposed to fill in before. I was very sick that day, and so I just wanted to publicly say that, and we are going to be in Ephesians this morning if you want to turn to Ephesians. But first of all, this boy needs him to speak through me. Father God, I love you today with a passion. You are everything to me. But I need your help. Father, I could have spent hundreds of hours studying your word this week, and it would have been a good thing. But it wouldn't have made any difference in anyone's life. But Father, one word from you. One word from you. We can live on for an entire week or longer. And I don't know about anyone else, but I want to hear from you. I am the student, Father. I know I stand up here this morning in front of this fine congregation of brothers and sisters, but I am the student. You are the teacher. Holy Spirit, teach us today what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. We are in Ephesians. I'm reading from New King James Version. If you don't have a Bible, there's a New Testament in front of, in the hymnal rack, in the pews, if you want to follow along. Ephesians chapter 1. It's interesting, the last time, several months ago, I spoke to the teens, and I was planning to speak on from John chapter 1 about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And about 10 minutes before I was supposed to speak, the Lord said, why don't you speak from this other version, or this other portion of Scripture. I don't know how you and God have a conversation, but I said to him, because that's not what I planned. Now, for those of you that are mothers, do you ever speak to your kids and they speak back to you and you give them this? Like, God gave me the look. He's very open and honest with me. I'm revealing a lot this morning, and I do that. He's very open and honest with me. I understand he is a very compassionate, loving God. But we get in each other's face. And sometimes when he says something and I go, but, and he says, so you want to live in disobedience? Oh, but no. It's that kind of open conversation, but I know he loves me. I'm not offended when he's in my face, because he's taking me from who I am, which is really nothing at all, to what he wants me to be. We are in Ephesians. How did I get sidetracked on that? Anyway, Ephesians was written in about 61 AD, obviously by the Apostle Paul. Ephesus was also the place where the Gospel of John was probably written, according to scholars, in about 90 AD. So you have the Apostle John writing the Gospel in 90, about 29 years after Paul wrote to Ephesians, we think. And I'll tell you why we think that. I find it interesting that Ephesus itself was also the closest city of the seven churches that are mentioned in Revelation to Patmos. Ephesus is the first one mentioned in Revelation. Ephesus, when John wrote Revelation, was the city, the church, that had lost its first love. So Paul is writing, and the interesting part is, and we're just going to go right into it, and we'll work through it, and we're going to cover the entire book, and we'll break for lunch, and... Okay. Did you know that some churches do that? And some of the foreign countries, you don't want to be like that. Okay. All right, we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I am struck by that. Think of the magnitude of this. If I wrote a letter and I said, Glenn, a resident of Gordon, Nebraska, people would go. So, everyone knew Paul exactly who he was because of his ministry. Paul, an apostle, the requirement for an apostle is you had to be an eyewitness of Jesus. John was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. Paul was an apostle because Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. It was a requirement for that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God chose him before he chose God. God chose me before. To the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints who are in Ephesus, maybe. Interesting part about the book of Ephesians is the earliest manuscripts either have Ephesus written in it or a blank space. This was what they called a circular letter. In other words, we would read it here in Gordon, and we'd say, wow, this is so good that we need to send it to somebody else. So we'd address it to somebody else, and it went somewhere else. All of the other letters that Paul writes addresses people, especially at the end, greet this person, greet that person that's in the church. He doesn't say that here. This letter was passed around because of the truth that it withholds in it. I personally have Ephesians as my second favorite of the New Testament books, besides the book of John, second only to book of John. Book of John tells us about Christ, who he was, how to be saved. Ephesians tells us how to live the Christian life. So it's very interesting that this letter was going to be circulated among a lot of people. Grace to you and peace. We are at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have grace and peace from God, what else do you need? Wow. What else would you want? All right. We're going to hit verse 3 and get in depth, and then we're going to go. We really are going to go to the end and come back. So, but hang on. I'm not going to keep you past 3 hours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Back up to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Depending on the version you're reading, some of them will say heavenly realms. Interesting thing. Paul is making a statement. If you put heavenly and places together, put them in quotations marks, together, right beside each other, you will find out in the entire Bible, it only appears in Ephesians. Heavenly places. It appears in Ephesians 5 times. Do you think Paul was trying to possibly get across a point? We're going to cover all 5. This is number 1. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Well, I'm not seeing it. I mean, it's not, sometimes it's evident in my life, but I'm not seeing it. Where is it located? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What are heavenly places? Well, there is a heavenly place between me and that clock back there on the wall. There is a heavenly place between my mouth and this microphone. I know this sounds kind of weird, but heavenly place is anything outside of the physical realm, the things you can't see. I was teaching a fifth and sixth grade Sunday school class several years ago, and I was telling them this concept and kind of freaked them out. Because I said, we were in a small classroom downstairs, and I said, there are angels, and folks, this is as real as it's going to get. There are angels and demons fighting over you right now. And I said, there could be one right up there in the corner, and it freaked them out. I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't. But the truth of the matter is, there are angels and demons fighting over your life right now. And sometimes we feel them. Sometimes they evidence themselves through circumstances. I'm not going to tell you all the ones that I felt this week, but I guarantee you I have been in a battle this week. I guarantee you, you have been in a battle this week. And they're real. That's the heavenly places. Can't see them, cannot touch them. Sometimes we get to feel them, we feel the consequences of them, and they're very real. There's the number one, third verse, heavenly places. Now let's jump to, where do I start? Let's go to 18, chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to hit number 2. The eyes of your understanding. So he's been talking from where we left off in 4. He's talking about redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, the mystery of his will, which is that all would come to repentance if we read the rest of the Bible. He talks about the Holy Spirit being a guarantee, a down payment. And then when we see Jesus, we're paid in full. But we're at verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. I'm going to have to reread this and again because this is so good. We're going to continue at 20. Which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Number 2, heavenly places. But I got to go back. I was reading this last night and I was like, verse 18. The eyes of your standing, Paul is hoping that the eyes of our understanding, that we would be enlightened, that we would see, that we would begin to recognize what are the spiritual battles that we have in our life. The eyes of your standing, understanding, be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Number 2, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? He glories in his saints. His saints are simply holy ones. His saints are simply every one of us who believe in Jesus. I don't feel like a saint. Aren't saint old people, you know, with long beards, etc.? I don't feel like a saint. Several instances this week that I really didn't feel like a saint. Doesn't matter. I believe in Jesus, we're saints. What is the exceeding, I'm at verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Do you understand what that means? It is such an incredibly long statement. I realize that. And if you know anything about the New Testament letters were one continual narrative. They didn't have verses and chapters. It was just read. Okay? 19 again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he worked in Christ Jesus? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead, he is working in you and me. The same power is in us. And seated him at his right hand, seated Jesus at his right hand in what? Heavenly places. Jesus has multiple references that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Nicole, I believe you prayed for interceding for us. That's exactly what Jesus Christ is doing, interceding at the right hand of the Father. Next reference, we're going to move. There was number 2, chapter 2. He goes on to talk about how we were once dead, but now we are alive in Christ Jesus. And we are at verse 4, chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive with Christ. Parentheses in my version, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Where are you sitting today? In heavenly places with Jesus Christ. I don't feel like it. The battle sure doesn't make me feel like I'm sitting with Jesus Christ this morning. And yet, the very first two words in my version say of verse 4, but God. Issues in my life, things I can't overcome, things I struggle with, things that I'm never going to be good enough to make it happen. But God. Father, I'll never get there. But God. Never going to make it happen. Can't get good enough. Can't keep the law. Can't keep the commandments. But God. And we're seated with Christ Jesus. With Christ Jesus. I don't understand that. I don't fully get that. But we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Number 3. We're going to number 4. Chapter 3, verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints. Paul, with all his knowledge, all his wisdom, he was born a Jew, went through all the schooling, did all the stuff, was a Pharisee, and yet he counts himself as least of the less. He's less than zero. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, the mystery of salvation, the mystery of the cross. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known, might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Christ Jesus was raised and sits at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Oh, by the way, number 3, we sit with Jesus in heavenly places. And now it's our position to tell principalities and powers about the wonderful mystery of salvation in heavenly places. Not sure how that works, other than to be a witness for Jesus Christ. How do we tell things that we cannot see and hear, other than we declare the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? Last one, number five. Paul's closing statement, if you will, in chapter 6, verse 10 is where we'll start. Chapter 6, verse 10. And this is very familiar to us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the temptations or the schemes or the plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withdraw or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Back to 10, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil. For we do not wrestle. I've got a question. What are you wrestling with today? Think about what you're wrestling with today. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the unseen, powers, against the rulers of this dark age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? Heavenly places. The real war is in heavenly places. The real battle that determines our lives and our destiny is somewhere in the unseen. What the enemy does is puts things in our way that are seen. And so we concentrate and we get frustrated. Can I have a witness? We get frustrated with the scene. And you know what, folks? The scene is not real. The unseen is real. Paul says in other books that he writes that the things of this world are temporal. But we need to concentrate on the eternal. What are you wrestling with today? Got something you're wrestling with today? I've got something I'm wrestling with. I'll be honest. For we wrestle not against principalities and powers. Well, how does that work? What happens when I'm wrestling and I seem to be losing all the time? Using our imagination just a little bit, I should have grabbed that other chair. The Father is sitting here. Jesus is right there in that chair. I know from this direction, it looks like he's on the left side, but God is looking this way. He's on the right side. So here's what happens, or here's what should happen. I can't handle that emotion. I can't work through that issue. Did you realize that the hardest thing to do sometimes is not when we get to Jesus, it's getting from here to Jesus that's the struggle. Father, I didn't have a right attitude. But I'm sitting in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And my Father is right here. Father, I'm struggling with an addiction. It just seems to control my life. I'm okay for a few days, and sometimes I can go for a week or so, and then I can't do it. But you're sitting with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Father, I struggle with finances. I can't control my finances. I trust in things other than you for my finances. And again, well, maybe he doesn't want to hear. But the minute we say, Jesus, we're suddenly here in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. But I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm not treating my spouse right. I'm have a bad attitude towards him or her, and we just don't get along, and we don't see eye to eye anymore, and we don't know where Jesus. Father, right there. And his word says, when we get to that point where we can't say anything, the one that sits here talks to Dad for us. And there is something, folks, in the presence of the Lord Jesus that all of a sudden, this changes me. This makes a difference. This sets me free. Not because of who I am, but because of where I'm sitting. Bow your heads, close your eyes, please. I'm going to pray. I will get to prayer. Father, before I pray, heads bowed, eyes closed, please. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I asked you a question earlier. I asked myself that question. What am I wrestling with? What am I wrestling with? Father God, you have told us in your word that just because of Jesus, not because of us, just because of Jesus, that you have seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And some of us may need to talk to you today. Some of us may need to have you talk to the Father for us. Because we can't do it ourselves. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you want to pray this morning, I realize there's not an altar up here, but there are steps. This first pew is open. See, folks, believe it or not, I need to talk to Dad today. And Jesus wants you to find your freedom and help you realize that you are seated with Him in heavenly places. So we're going to take a few moments as the music plays. To seek His face. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. I'll play that one more time. I just want to make sure that you have the opportunity to sit with Jesus this morning. I'm not prodding, I'm not prying, I'm not condemning. I just want to make sure that you are free in Jesus in heavenly places. Friends, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We really don't. And we declare the authority of Jesus Christ over these lives today, Father. Once again, you can pray where you're at. If you want to pray at the front here, it's open. Feel open to however the Lord is leading you. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your provision in Jesus Christ, that we can be who we are in you. Father, help us to remember you are always there to hear us. Help us to run to that chair that sits at your right hand, that's occupied by Jesus, and to share our needs and our hearts, to be honest before you because you love us. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish. Hearts are mended. We cannot walk into your presence and walk away the same. And we thank you, Father, for that. The reality of that. And Father, help us to be announcers, those who declare to principalities and power, we are free in Jesus. We thank you once again. Thank you for the patience of my brothers and sisters this morning. Thank you for your presence during the worship, Father God. We bless you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Usually Jason would say, turn to the person next to you and say something. So something is what you need to say.